My name's Claire Kipfer. I'm from Tustin, Michigan. I'll start with reading a couple verses. Romans 6, verse 6, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. Verse 18, being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. In Colossians 2:10, and ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. And I'm a living witness here today that those verses are true. God has worked in my heart, and I got born again back in 98. And the first 4 years of my life especially were up and down and up and down. And one of the major things that took me down was rebellion. And God set me free from that. I love authority. I have a good relationship with my dad. And we share hearts together. And part of God working that way is my first dad is not living anymore. But God opened my eyes to what authority is and how the blessing of authority. I'm going to say probably about 4 years ago when God really laid it on my heart, my need for brokenness. And since then, I've been praying for brokenness. And God has brought some things into my life that really hurt. And that's what He does when we're willing to be honest. He sometimes brings things into our life that hurt, but they lead us on. And as God worked brokenness in my heart, it's been an uphill climb. It's not always been easy, but it's been glorious. It's been a peaceful time. And another thing I've based my life on, and it works. The Word of God is true, and we can pattern our lives after the life of Jesus. And if we look in Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 9, it said about Jesus, Thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Therefore God, even thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. And I found that to be very true. If we love righteousness and hate iniquity, God anoints us with the oil of gladness. And that's just so precious. It's nothing we do, but it's Him. And, you know, like I said, the first 4 years of my Christian life went up and down a lot. But God brought me to a point in my life where I realized anew and afresh that I couldn't go on without Him taking full control. I couldn't anymore do it on my own. And I realized that, but I slipped back into trying on my own and it didn't work. And that's when God brought those verses to my mind when I was very desperate in Romans that we can know we're dead with Christ. And if we know that self and sin, that pride, that seed of Satan that we're born with, if we can know that we're crucified and dead to that, then any temptation that comes our way, we can remind Satan and remind even ourselves that we are crucified with Christ. And we don't have to go that way. And this week, I'd just like to share briefly what God did in my life this week. It's been very exciting seeing God work. And in fact, even before Bible school, about 5 weeks ago, I got my first experience seeing very closely God work with his soul and bring him to himself. And that was just glorious. I understand now what they say when they say it's addicting. But this week, especially, God again pressed on my heart my need to keep seeking him for brokenness. I was spoken to also by when Brother Ross spoke on the tongue, and I just again I said, God, I'm crucified with Christ. My tongue is yours for your glory. And another thing God spoke to me on was reading his word and hearing his heart. Not reading it like a lawyer, especially God spoke to me that way and thinking of the Great Commission. I'm not just feeling my responsibility to just minister to a soul here or there, but it's, do I have his heart? And so God's just continuing to work, and it's glorious. And I'd like to read a verse in closing. Romans chapter 11, verse 36. For of Him, and through Him, and to Him are all things, to whom be glory forever. That's my testimony. God is so good, and He's faithful. He's the one who can make a difference in a life.
My name is Regina Rudolph, and I'm my family goes to charity here at Pennsylvania. This week has been a blessed week for me. I started out the week feeling clear in my heart with the Lord, and but the first session there before we started, Brother Mark shared about if we want a blessing, we need to stay behind in the tabernacle. And God just spoke to me through that and reminded me that I have a whole week to have concentrated of hearing God's word and just a week to give myself to listening to Him and hearing from Him. And that God did really, He has met with me this week and it has been such a blessing. Brother Dale Gish's message on brokenness really spoke to me that God wants me to have my future completely laid on the altar before Him. I'm kind of in a changing, a waiting time in my life, and just that I shouldn't have my own ideas about what I think God should do next or what He has for me, but just to have it all laid out and at rest in Him. And just a quiet heart before Him, listening for what He wants. And also, I've just been reminded through many of the different sessions and the Brother Jerry's message last night that some of you know that I spent the past 2 years in Ghana, and that now that I'm back, I'm not to step back from God's kingdom work, and that I cannot waste my moments. Life is too short and eternity too long to waste them. And so I just want to go home this week and be totally given out, given all to the Lord. This verse here in 2 Corinthians has really blessed me this week. But we all, with an open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as the Spirit of the Lord. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not. And I just want to press forward and give God my all. God bless you.
My name is Timothy Weens. I'm from Lacrete, Alberta, Canada. And the Lord's blessed me this week, and it's been a real good blessing for me. I came with a clear heart. There were some issues that needed to be dealt with. And in our area, I come from a Russian Mennonite community, and we're getting a lot of persecution there. And, I'm born again for half a year here, and I was ashamed of the gospel. I didn't share it with people. I really was ashamed of it. And because I thought there was no power in it. I just didn't really believe. And but when I look back to what God's done to me and where He's, that He saved me from hell, and I was doomed. I was a horrible sinner, one of the worst. I was horrible, and God showed me this week that there's power in His gospel. I've seen people get born again this weekend. And there's power in the gospel. And I needed to believe that, and I needed to see it, because I don't see it up there. There's people rebelling against God. There's people don't believe His word. And that was a real blessing to me to see that the gospel is preached here and people believe. My upbringing, my mom was a believer. She got born again when I was about 8, 9 years old. So I somewhat had Christianity in my home. I knew about Christianity. I knew what it was. And my teenage years, I was only about 12, 13 years old when I was introduced to alcohol, smoking, pornography, it really got a hold of me. And I was down the wrong road pretty fast. Didn't take long. But there's been some brothers in my life that stood beside me, that encouraged me in this last couple months back home. If it hadn't been for them, for the church that started there, the fellowship, I'd still be living in sin. I had one foot in the church and one in the world, and I thought that would save me. And I came to myself and I realized it wasn't enough. I was a miserable person. This past summer, I've grown a lot. I still got a lot to learn, to apply to my life. So many good messages that we heard this week, and I want to apply them to my life, and I just sometimes don't know how. And so I had this Romans chapter 1, verse 16 really has stood out to me in the last couple months. It says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation." And that we could go home blessed, and that we could say that we are not ashamed of the gospel, and that we would preach the gospel to people. I have brothers and sisters that aren't born again. And it's hard for me to communicate with them. It's hard for me to tell them about Jesus and to preach to them. To not be ashamed. It feels foolish to be a Christian. It really does. And God has blessed me here with a lot of things, with so many young people that are willing to live for the Lord. I don't know, there might be some that aren't living for the Lord, but I pray that you would give your hearts to the Lord. It's the ultimate goal. It's the ultimate blessing. There's no other fulfillment in this world. There's nothing that's going to satisfy us. And I trust God that He'll do a work in my life and He'll show me what He has for me. I sometimes am kind of impatient, not knowing what to do, and I take things and matters into my own hands. But one verse that stood out to me today as I was reading 2 Timothy 1, chapter verse 13, it said, "Hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me, and faith and love which is in Christ Jesus." Let's hold fast to what we have, the Word of God. Let's hold fast to that and not let go. Not then His love, not deny it. And I pray that God can bless everyone here. And I hope that we can all go back home and what we've heard here will be established in our lives and worked out in our lives. May God bless you.
My name is Carrie Burdett and I'm from Opelika, Alabama. And I would like to begin by sharing a little of my salvation testimony. When I was 8 years old, during a home prayer meeting, I prayed with someone to receive Jesus. But as I grew older, I really doubted that I had been saved, and I struggled with having assurance of salvation. And I wanted to go on with the Lord, but these struggles really held me back. And in August of last year, our pastor gave an invitation to anyone who wasn't sure of their salvation, and I was miserable at this point because I really wanted to know that I was saved. And so I went forward and prayed, and since then I haven't had any more struggles in that area. I know with assurance that the Lord has saved me, and I have a peace about it. And Proverbs 4:18 says, "But the path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day." And the Lord has used this week of Bible school to shine more and more light into my life. I was blessed by the study of James, especially about the tongue. I know that's an area that the Lord really needs to do a lot of work in my life. And I was also challenged by the emphasis on modesty. I want to be not only modest by the way I dress, but also in my heart. And I want my motives to be pure. I want to go home and, with the Lord's help, put into practice everything that I've heard this week. Something that was said yesterday really stuck with me. When faith works itself out in your everyday life, it makes Jesus beautiful to others. And I want that to be in my life. That's my desire, for Jesus to shine through me. Thank you.
I'm Hannah Brown, and I'm from Washington State. And right now, I don't feel very worthy to stand before you all today. But I want God to have the glory for what He's done in my life. If you had asked me when I first came to Bible school this week, I would have said that I was saved at 11 years old. But as the week went on, I felt God's tug on my heart. I knew that I'd never truly repented and been broken before God. I was living for Christ self-righteously, and I was living for Him in my own strength, which wasn't serving Him at all. I withstood God's pricking at first, thinking it was just Satan trying to tempt me and doubt my salvation. But on Thursday night, I came to the realization that I didn't know if I'd be with God for eternity. I gave up all my ugly sin to God and repented truly. I was broken, and I felt like I had a clean slate afterwards. And I want to go home with a clean slate. God deserves full glory for what He's done in my life this week. I want to live for Him 365 days of the year. I pray that I will remain hot for God, no matter what I face as I go home. I want to thank you all for encouraging me so much this week, and I just pray that you will all find the peace that I found.
My name is Laura Eichenauer, and I'm from Wisconsin. Praise God that He brought me here this week. I came with a lot of doubts. All through my life, I'd never been assured of salvation. Always responding to altar calls, just raising your hand or going forward, but never repenting. And when I talked with our host family, they had asked us to share our testimony. I told them honestly, I don't know if I have one. And I was wanting to be truthful with him. And I said, I don't have assurance of salvation, and I really don't know if you can. And I want to be honest and live an honest life to other people. And I wanted to give God one last chance. And so I knew on Monday that I would need to go forward before the Lord. And so I went forward and I repented, and the Lord cleared me from all my sin of pride and being self-righteous. And before that night, I had not truly known what it was to have a new heart and a changed life. And I wanted to be someone. I wanted to help others. I wanted to be a missionary. I thought that would be the most wonderful thing you could do with your life, just because you would look good to other people. But I truly couldn't tell anyone about true salvation. Couldn't lead anyone to Christ because I didn't know what it meant. And I just praise God for the blood, that it covers all sin. And that night after I went home, the Lord gave me a verse that said, "He who confesses his sin, God will cleanse from all unrighteousness." And praise God, because He did. He cleared my heart. And I love the Lord with my whole heart. And now I know what it means to, when Christ said to take up your cross and follow me, I know what it means. And I just praise the Lord for Him bringing me here this week.
Well, praise God. My name is Benjamin Smith, and I'm from Tennessee. And in the year 2001, God saved my soul. I've had ups and downs since then in my Christian walk. None of it was God's fault. He's always there calling us back, though, praise God. And He has the power to save us to the uttermost. I have been walking with God now for so many years, I guess, but it hasn't been until the past 2 years that God's really been working in my heart. He's really been waking me up to things. I've had a really freeness for quite a while now, and have to say that some of the things that were spoke upon this week, I have had to deal with in my Christian life. There is immense freedom by confiding in your parents. I know a lot of people don't have a very good relationship with their parents at this point in time, but I believe when we get to be older men and women, we are really going to regret that. Our parents are a blessing from God. God has given me a burden this week, among many other things, and that is that often us young people, we look at what's right here, this time that we're living in right now, this year, this week. We are so busy planning for our activities and our work that we don't take time to get an eternal perspective as God would want us to have. We think that if our Christian walk and our moral standard is good at this time, then that's good enough. And we often don't look forward to what is going to come in the future. If you would turn with me to 2 Timothy, verse 2, or 2 Timothy chapter 2, starting in verse 1, it says, "Thou, therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and in the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men, who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier." There's so many things to get tangled up with right now. Politics and trends and friends and family. But God wants us to look to the spiritual warfare that we are committed to be in. He called us to fight a spiritual warfare. God laid on my heart this week that we are the mothers and fathers of the next generation. That's going to be the next congregation. What are we going to set the standard at? Are we going to follow God with our full heart? Or are we going to yield, even if it's in little ways, to the ways of this time? We are also being looked up to by a younger crowd, those who are 10 and below right now. They are tomorrow's youth group. They're going to look at the way we do things, and they're probably going to go to our excesses. So are we going to set a worldly way of living and they go to an excess of worldly living? Or are we going to set a standard of living that we seek after God with our whole heart and that we care about the things of His kingdom and that they go to that excess? Praise God. That's what we want. I just would encourage that we make sure that we are really paying attention to what God has to say to us. I mean, I know that many times that it's easy to, when the speakers get up, we say, well, they're older, they don't know what we're going through. They don't know what it's like to have peer pressure. But brothers and sisters, they did know. There was a time they've been there. I just thank God for His work in my life, and that He does save to the uttermost. Thank you.
Hello, my name is Caleb Smoker. I've been asked just to share a few things from my life in the past few years. I don't feel like I have my thoughts very organized, but I just want to share some of the things that God has done in my heart to bring me to where I'm at now. I think this is my 7th Bible school. It's hard to believe. But they've been a blessing, and I remember through all the different years, especially years ago, I remember different times going to the prayer rooms and just praying there. And I remember a lot of times wanting to get alone, but there were people there praying. And I remember a lot of those years that were a blessing. But I think through all the years, just it's been a gradual growth for me. In the first couple of years of my Christian life, I had more of crises and things that I dealt with. And the last couple of years have just been a gradual, I guess, yielding to the Lord and allowing Him to take me on. Some of the things that I remember over the years, I've been going into the Lancaster Street Ministry for 4 or 5 years. And it's been a blessing in my life. I remember going and not being sure what to do, and there were other brothers there that were just leading out and showing the way, and I remember just giving myself to that. And I remember many evenings when I was tired, or maybe even sometimes a little bit sick, but still deciding that I'm going to go in there no matter what I feel like, and I'm going to let God use me. And I remember so many different times coming home in the evening just overwhelmed with the blessing of God. And I think that's I don't have a lot of things to share from my life, but as I was just thinking about it, that's one area that's really made a difference in my life. Yielding myself to God's work and not holding back and not making excuses that, well, next week I'll feel a little better. But I've found that even through the years, sometimes struggling with physical weakness, but as I avail myself to God, His strength has been in my heart as I just am excited in the Lord and knowing that I'm serving Him. And and one thing God has been teaching me is not to just sit around and wait for Him to show me something to do, but to involve myself in His work. I know different times when I was younger, sitting at home and thinking, Lord, what can I do? But right now in my life, I'm overwhelmed with things to do for God. And it's just because of all through those years, giving myself to the work of God and taking the opportunities that come and stepping forward into them. And kind of my prayer this year, something I wrote in my journal back in February on my birthday, I wrote, Lord, I want to be content where You have me, but I don't want to be complacent. And that's kind of been my prayer this year. I don't want to allow myself to be complacent, but I want to fight in the kingdom of God and yet just being content where God has me. And so that's been some of the things that God has been teaching me. And I remember one evening about 2 months ago, just again, being at home, I was very busy that week and I was a little bit tired, and a brother called me up and said, why don't you come up to the city with me to help have a Bible study? And I didn't think I wanted to, but I made that decision and just availed myself to God. And I remember coming home that evening so full of joy. And sharing in the Bible study and playing with the children. I just had a wonderful evening, and I came home and I'm just rejoicing. And God allowed me to accomplish all those other things I needed to accomplish that week. But the verse that really stuck out in my mind was, "He that loseth his life for my sake in the Gospels will find it." And that has been such a blessing in my life. One thing that God has been teaching me this week is, as I've had a lot of ideas of what I want to do for God, God has just been teaching me more to allow Him to guide them. I feel like I'm just learning how to hear my Father in heaven, how to hear His heart, and not to bring my plans to Him and get busy, but just to wait before Him and hear His direction. And in that same area, my relationship with my dad and my mom, God has just been working in that area in my life. I would say that over the last couple of years, that's been more and more. The older I get, the more I appreciate my dad and need his wisdom. So right now, I'm just wanting to learn how to listen to God and how to keep on serving.
Hello, my name is Brandy Knox. I'm from Indiana, but most recently from Pennsylvania here in Ephrata. I want to first share just briefly my salvation testimony and then tell you what God's been doing in me lately and how He's been working me this week of Bible school. I've lived most of my life with a false hope for my salvation, believing I was saved because I had prayed a sinner's prayer and believing that Christ requires nothing more of His followers than mental assent and verbal confession. In the circles I was in, Christianity was socially a high choice. It was the popular way. It was easy salvation, just ask forgiveness. In the churches I was part of, divorce or marriage was common amongst leaders. Our youth groups would frequently go to rock concerts, beaches, amusement parks, malls, and cinemas. I dressed like the world, listened to popular music, and watched all the latest movies. And although I had not made Jesus Lord over any part of me, I believed that He would surely save me from eternity in hell. Careful obedience to God's word was to me legalism and bondage. To me, I was just living in the liberty that Christ had purchased for me. Little did I know that my soul was not free, but I was bound by lies of Satan, believing in an easy grace and costless salvation. Over the last 2 years, I sank even deeper into sin, living a life of shameful sin, casting off all restraint, and yet still claiming the name of Christ as my Savior. Well, through a complicated series of events, I ended up here in Ephrata, Pennsylvania, living with a family from Living Hope. In 2 weeks into my stay here, I received a letter from a member of my family, an unbeliever, and he was rebuking me harshly for the wicked life I was living, and telling me how shameful an example I had been for his young children. An unbeliever was rebuking me for my wickedness. His letter was meant to hurt me. He wasn't writing in hopes that I would shape up. He just wanted to express his anger for having inconvenienced his family's life. Well, his letter did something far deeper than that. In that moment, I burned with conviction, for I finally understood what I had done to God's name. I had profaned God's holy name amongst the Gentiles. I was bearing the name of Christ and living under the control of sin, gratifying the lust of my flesh. And what damage I had done in carrying His name so boldly. Reading this letter, my heart burned with conviction, and I knelt down with the dad and mom that I'm living with, and I cried out in repentance for taking God's holy name in vain, for the hypocrisy I had lived in all my life and for every sin that blackened my heart. In that day, for the first time in my life, I decided, Lord, I am no longer living for my pleasure. I'm going to live for Your glory, Lord. You not only made me, but You redeemed me with Your own blood. Lamb of God, You are worthy. You are deserving of the rewards of Your suffering. And that day I was born again. And that was in July. That was at the end of July that I was born again this year. And since then, God's been doing a work in me. He's been teaching me His ways, leading me into truth, pointing out areas that need to be dealt with. And the night before my baptism, I still had a lot of things from my past life, and I went to Dean and I said, we have all these things. What do I do with these? I need to get rid of all this stuff from my life that I had been living in. And so we made a burn barrel. We went out to a farm. We got a big burn barrel. And in that fire, I just threw all the immodest clothes that I had been wearing, all the journals, all the pictures, all the filthy lyrics that I'd been listening to. I just threw it all in that fire. And as we looked down in the fire, we saw that some of the things were not consumed. Some of the pages that the fire wasn't touching. It was too deep down. And so Daddy grabbed a big stick, and he just started stirring it. He started stirring in that fire, making it all get to the fire, make the fire go down to every little page, every little area, every garment of clothing. And my prayer was, God, do that in my heart. Do that in my heart, God. Point out every little thing. Is there anything left in me that's not burned up, that's not consumed for you, God? Burn it up, Lord. Burn it up. Purify me with fire. And so the next day I had my baptism with all the sin behind me. It was all buried. It was all burned up. And since that time, God's been teaching me. He's been teaching me to trust that He's in control. Sometimes when I would think back on my life, I had such regret over the sins I had committed, over the sinful life I'd lived, and I wish I could go back and undo it. I wish I could go back and clean it up. And I questioned, God, why did you allow some of the things to happen in my life that did? And this week, Brother Ross Ulrich really, really blessed me with his teachings that he brought from the book of James. And in James 1, we read, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations or trials, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing." And in Romans 8:28, it says, "We know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose." And a lot of times I've looked back on these trials that I faced and I thought, God, those things weren't working together for good. They were painful. How can I rejoice over them? But as I look back, I know that it's because of those trials that I faced that I was able to come to salvation in Christ Jesus. And so I do rejoice in the affliction. And I embrace each day now just trusting God, just having confident rest in Him, not questioning if He's out of control in my life, but just knowing that I can trust Him. Every trial that comes my way, He's working His plan, He's purifying me, and He is working all things together for His glory. Thank you.
Hello, I'm Aaron Smith from Holdridge, Nebraska. And I would like to say thank you to you principals and matrons who have made this a very blessed Bible school for us, and for pouring out your lives for us. I have a burden for those of you who are newly saved and those of you who I know are not saved. They say that, I guess, the two most dangerous points in a flight are the takeoff and landing. Paul, correct me if I'm wrong on that, but you are at the takeoff. You are at a very vulnerable point. And I have no experience with the landing, but I do remember what it was like to start. And Satan has so many tactics, especially at this point, to try to derail you in your faith. No matter what, keep flying. That is so important. You won't always fly in the clouds, but it's important to keep flying. I rejoice in this because this is my testimony. You can have salvation. That is the first thing. I know that Satan tells us so many things. He tries to convince you that you are too far. Acts 17:30, God commandeth all men everywhere to repent. If the word all does not include you, then this book is a lie. Satan will try to convince you that you have sinned your way beyond the grace of God. When you accept this lie, you are saying by your actions that the blood of God's perfect, holy Son is inadequate to cover your sins. God wants you. Even if you are rejecting Him right now, He wants you. you can have assurance. It is not God's will for you to live continually doubting your salvation. Learn to recognize His voice through the Scriptures. Soak your soul in His Word. When you have doubts and bad feelings, I've had so many in my life, and this is something that has really helped me. Write them down. I know Satan likes to work with vague generalities and says, oh, I don't quite feel right. When you write them down, it is easier to objectively bring them under the light of God's Word. You will know very quickly when you do that whose voice is speaking. The day after I was saved in 2002, I did not know. I mean, I went through a very miserable next day. It was very, very difficult. And I just started writing things down. You don't have any deep, strong feelings. You are an imposter. You can't have victory over sin. You don't have a fiery, anointed life. You can't have a fiery love for Christ, and you never will. Because you are not absolutely on fire for God, you must not be saved. When I was looking through this, I thought it was interesting that in each of these, there is, to some extent, a small grain of truth, but the end is twisted. Because you do not have an absolute love for Jesus and for reading the Bible, you must not be saved. You are superficial, just fired up. How do you know you're not faking your conversion? Why should God listen to you? You are not in the right spirit. And on the list goes. Compare it to Scripture, Revelation 12:10. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength in the kingdom of our God and the power of His Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. Also, John 8:44. Ye are of your father the devil, and the lusts of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar, and the father of it. Learn to recognize the voice of God. And the third thing, which has become reality in my life, and I praise God for it, is that you can have victory. There was a woman, 12 years suffering from an issue of blood. I was 19 years in bondage to moral impurity. And it was something that kept coming back even after I was saved. And so this is where I believe get under authority is so good. It is such a blessing. When I finally humbled myself and confessed it to my dad, I've had total, complete victory in that area from that day on. Submit to God. God has ordained authority, so when you submit to the authorities in your life, whoever they may be, you are submitting to God Himself. When you confess your sins, you are submitting your life to the authority of the Word of God, which says, confess your faults one to another, and pray for one another that ye may be healed. James 5:16. Resist the devil. This was something that in my prayer group last year we talked about, and it was very interesting because so often when temptation comes, we play with it. We say, oh, I don't want to do that. And Jay Libby, you'll remember that. If every time you came to me, I burned you with a match, you would not want to stay around me very much. And I have found Satan hates worship. When he comes and tempts you, and you sing, meditate on Scripture, pray aloud, or spend time with God, he really hates it. It kind of takes the fun out of temptation, tempting you for him. And I would like to share with you something that Keith Daniel told me after I was saved. And this is something that's borne so true in my life over and over. And I wish I would have followed it from the beginning, but I haven't always, but God has always been faithful to take me back. Don't neglect the quiet time, and you'll never backslide. That's the one thing he told me, and that is so true. Lord, what a change within us one short hour. spent in thy presence will prevail to make. What heavy burdens from our bosoms take. What parched grounds refresh as with a shower. We kneel, and all around us seems to lower. We rise, and all the distant and the near stands forth in sunny outline, brave and clear. We kneel, how weak, we rise, how full of power. Why therefore should we do ourselves this wrong, or others, that we are not always strong, that we are ever overborne with care, that we should ever weak or heartless be, anxious or troubled when with us is prayer, and joy and strength and courage are with thee. May God bless you all.
I want to thank the Lord for what He's done in my life this week. I've been tremendously blessed. I came here and I asked the Lord that He would do in my life, that He would search me and that He would just cleanse me, that He would show me the things that He would have me to change. And He did that definitely in my life. I've been really blessed this week. I came from a Christian home, real godly parents. And I've really been blessed with that. They have helped me terrifically in my Christian walk. And when I was 6 years old, during some tent meetings, I felt the Lord convicting me. And the knowledge I had at that time, I responded to it. And then when I was 12 years old, just about 13, the Lord showed me who I really was. And without Him. And I talked with my parents one evening when I couldn't sleep, and they led me through. And I rededicated my life to the Lord, and He did a work in my life that night, and He saved me, and I just praise Him for that. And it hasn't all been up from there. I went through some hard times in my life, but I thank the Lord that He is faithful to bring us back to Him each time. This March, we had some youth meetings in our church, and the Lord did a deep work in my life there. He had done that numerous times through my life where I just showed me who I really was, and did gave me that brokenness before Him. And this March, He did that in a new way in my life, and I thank Him for it. He just showed me who I was and gave me that hunger for Him and that brokenness, and poured out more of His Spirit in my life, that I could walk closer to Him. And this week the Lord really did a work in my life. I struggled in the area of my thoughts and what I allowed my thoughts to dwell on. And this week I can testify He set me free in that area. Beginning all week with the brokenness, the Lord just started doing a work in my life there. And then the Lord showed me that if I really want to be free, am I willing to do whatever it takes to be free in this area? Am I willing to go home and be accountable to my Father? And He showed me that through the message. I confessed it in my prayer group and talked and prayed with my prayer group leader. And then after Denny shared, he talked about accountability, and that really spoke to me, and I decided that that's what I'm going to do. Whatever it takes, that's it. And when I decided that and made that decision, the Lord came through. And I can testify to that. It says in Deuteronomy 4, it says, "But if from thence thou shalt seek the Lord thy God, thou shalt find Him, if thou seek Him with all thy heart and with all thy soul." And I can testify to that, and that He did a work in my life. And also in Mark, after that I was looking through the Bible and reading the Bible, and this word, Lord impressed it in my heart. It says, "Go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee and hath had compassion on thee." And I want to do that. I know that that'll be a help in my life if I go home and share what the Lord has done in my life and witness for Him. Bless you.
James, Chuck, and this is my testimony. I grew up in Lancaster County, Pennsylvania. I was born and raised in a conservative home and church. My mom was the one who taught me about God's Word and the fear of God and how to pray with reverence. My mom did not see My dad and mom did not see eye to eye, but mom was very submissive. I remember when I started to rebel against my parents, my mom would give me these looks and it would just break my heart. My dad didn't always back mom up on disciplining with love. Anyways, I started to get very selfish and follow whatever pleased my senses and my eyes. I got a radio which was forbidden and started listening to music. Music was very comforting to me. I began with country music that I didn't really listen to the words. It was just the instruments that sounded good and were soothing. Then I started down a path of drugs and alcohol and all kinds of perversion, watching a lot of movies, listening to any kind of music. A song that became a favorite was a song about by AC/DC, which was called Highway to Hell. I loved hunting, snowboarding, and all big resorts, wakeboarding. I was trying to drown out the voice of God and mom. And about maybe 3 months ago, we had a family reunion. I didn't really like them because I knew that one of my brothers would talk to me about God. Well, they did, and I couldn't help but start thinking about heaven and hell. He gave me a DVD about people getting saved. I was a little convicted to watch it, but instead I went to the bar. I finally watched it, and through it, God inspired me to junk all my movies, music CDs, magazines, and inspired me to quit drugs, alcohol, and tobacco. I tried to live a better life, but I still didn't have peace in my heart. I didn't have much trust in churches, but finally started to go. I was at an evening service at charity. God spoke through that man directly to me. Is the thing still working? Oh, yeah, I guess it is. Sorry. I went home and I prayed that God would forgive me and come into my heart. Sunday morning, my heart did not feel free. I went to the service and God spoke to me again more urgently. I was so convicted, I couldn't speak. I wanted to burst out crying or something. My sister could see that I was convicted and she asked if I could get a preacher to pray with us. I said, no, I was very proud. I went outside and I tried to walk it off, get some fresh air, just tried to get rid of it, and it just wouldn't go away. Finally, I came to the end of myself and agreed she could get a preacher to pray with us. We went into his office and he told me I should confess my sins individually. It was very hard to begin, but it got easier as I confessed more and more until I couldn't think of any more. I stood and I felt very humiliated, but my heart felt lighter. It didn't really sink in until Monday when I went to work. I couldn't stop smiling and singing in my heart, just praising God for my new heart. About a week later, I wasn't so sure anymore. My old will and habits and life in general started pressing in. Fear and doubt and confusion about really being born again. One day I was sure and the next day I wasn't. I wasn't sure what to do. I started praying earnestly and reading my Bible more and tried to be more open to encouragement, although I didn't really trust people. I finally realized that God's grace and many encouraging true words from brothers. I just needed to fill my mind with more of God's word. And this week has just made my cup overflow with peace and joy. I love the Lord, and I know I'm here for His pleasure.
Well, I'm Anna Clausen from Ontario, Canada. I would like to share a little bit of what the Lord has done for me. It's a privilege to be able to be up here and to share what the Lord has done in my life. Before I was saved, I grew up in a family where, yes, we were Christians. We didn't speak much about God, though. We've kind of had to find our own way in our life. And my question was always, what point is there in life? Why am I even living? And thoughts like that really, really brought me down to deep despair, depression. I had no purpose in life. Nothing really went right. People were happy and people were mad and people were killing. And there was no point to it all. I couldn't trust anyone either. So therefore, I came to a point where I wanted to clean up what was in life. And in order to do that, I had to clean up myself. It was a terrible time. But the Lord had mercy. The Lord called me to Him. It was a very, very hard day. I was convicted. But I didn't want to go because I didn't know what the next step would be in life. I didn't know what the price really was, what I would really have to give up. One day I felt too convicted, and I did. I bowed my knees before my Lord. He gave me an abundance of peace. Peace that passeth all understanding. I didn't need to know what was going to happen next, but I knew that I could trust my Lord. And from there, I had a part of my life that I really, really needed to trust someone. And God opened a verse in Proverbs 3:5-6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not unto your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct my paths. Not maybe, but He will. God has led me through many areas in my life where I had a very hard time in growing. I wasn't sure what steps to take next. I've been a Christian for almost 2 years now, and it's amazing what God has done in my life. My point for coming to Bible school was not for my own. I realized that many times in life that I cannot have one foot in the world and one foot for Christ. It doesn't work that way. I had goals for coming here. I wanted to learn more about my Lord. I had somewhat of a burden for the lost, and I knew that God was calling me to be a witness, not hanging on the fence, but to truly be a witness. And praise God, He answered my prayer. He truly answered my prayer. It's going to be a process, but the burden for the lost is there. To me, it's a scary thought almost. I don't know what I will encounter, but in Isaiah 54, verse 17, no weapon formed against you shall prosper, and every tongue which rises against you in judgment ye shall condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is from me, says the Lord. He opened up that verse to me, and I am assured that He will help me. It's been a blessed week. I've grown tremendously to knowing that my life is not my own. It's for God's glory. And I just pray that I would not take Bible school home with me, but take my Lord home with me to be a true witness for what Christ has done for me. My prayer is just that those souls that have not been weakened, have not been touched by the Lord, that they may. Our Lord is the only way to true life. Galatians 2, verse 20. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. That is my prayer for every one of you. May God bless you.
Well, greetings in the name of our dear Lord Jesus. I'm Paul Hirschberger from Ohio. I feel a bit unworthy and yet very privileged to stand here. having been in many Bible schools, it's a little overwhelming. But I was asked to share my testimony here today in the light of someone that has walked with the Lord for years. I've been born again for 25 years. This past spring, I got born again when I was 15. I grew up in an Amish home, and I had the goal as I was growing up, I was waiting for the day that I would turn 16 to go ruin my life. But God had mercy. I'd like to read a couple verses in Titus. For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. But after that the kindness and love of God our Savior toward men appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which He shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by His grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. And as a young man living for the flesh and for self, God started convicting me of the sin I was living in. So I started changing and changing and changing, but I didn't have peace. In a sense, I was trying to work out my own salvation and get right with God. I changed my friends. I quit committing the sins, many of them, that I was living in. And yet there was no peace. Till I came to a place where I laid all that down. And I just believed in Jesus for the forgiveness of my sins. And that's the night that heaven opened up over my life. And from the inside out, I was regenerated. And then I found grace to go face people and make things right where I had wronged them. I found the grace to be an overcomer over sin, not just trying to change my life a little, but I found grace from God to live differently. I was a young man that gave his life to serve the Lord. I purposed to do it with all of my heart. I don't regret one day of it, giving myself totally to the Lord. And in that, I found myself needing refining. Needing refining. And if you're here and you're serving the Lord with all of your heart, I would encourage you, keep on going. But there's a verse that became a favorite that came into my mind here this afternoon as I was thinking about sharing. In my youth, I made 2 Chronicles 7:14 one of my favorite verses. It says, "If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and will heal their land." As I've lived my life for the Lord, the day came that God started putting His fingers on those areas in my life that needed changed. If there's anything I'd like to just share that I want you to remember, it's the need of letting God mold my life the way He wants it. And bowing to it.
This is to God's people. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves, be willing to hear those hard things that others have to say, be willing to open my heart and life to them and recognize them, and pray and seek God's face, being willing to turn from those things. I think it was about the age of 20 and 21 that I had a real serious working over in this area in my life, where I got to just look at me. You know, lay aside all those high and mighty ideas about how spiritual I am, and just humble myself. Yes, Lord. And there's been numerous of those going through life. And I'll say, the more there are, the easier it is to cry. If we're willing to be broken before God, God can do a lot. But if I want the honor, He won't do anything. The last several years have been more of just giving up, sacrificing to God godly aspirations. You know, Abraham took his Isaac up on the mountain, and he sacrificed him, so to speak. But God provided a ram. There are times when God says, bring me your Isaac, and there's no ram in the bushes. He'll just burn it. And you're left there saying, I don't understand why, but yes, Lord. You know, we don't have to understand why. If we're here to follow Him, we don't have to understand why. And we're really, truly surrendered to God. Then He can burn my sacrifice. If I'm bringing it to Him, then He's allowed to burn it. And whether He ever brings it back to life is His decision. I'm here to follow Him, no matter what. It's His will. It's His life that we want. We want Him to be honored. We find ourselves as a family in a situation right now we don't fully understand. Making a sacrifice, and God burns that one only to turn around and have Him say, now bring me the sacrifice that you sacrificed. And sacrifice that one too. But I am seeing that God is bringing out of that a fruitfulness and a direction that I don't fully understand, but maybe more fully able to fit into the body of Christ to provide what He has for us to provide. To be fruitful for Him. Not my plans, not my ideals, not my ideas. Yours, Lord. Have Your way. And my testimony is, if we'll live our lives surrendered that way, it might not turn out like somebody else. It probably won't. But if I know I'm in the center of God's will, then it'll turn out right. I've learned to appreciate Abraham probably more in the last couple years than I have before. The father of faith. And it wasn't all easy, but he walked with God. God bless all you.
Well, praise God for talking to us and convicting us. When I was about 7, there was a thunderstorm coming through, and I got scared and didn't want to go to hell, so I asked my older brother to pray with me, and it wasn't real, but I pretended it was. And it was easier to pretend that I was a Christian than to admit that I wasn't. Because if I pretended I was a Christian, every time I did something wrong and my parents found out about it, all I had to do was say, well, I'm sorry, you know, and they just kind of let it go at that, and I wouldn't get punished, and it was an easy way to get out of punishment. But that's not what being a Christian is about. So, about a month ago, I wasn't satisfied with life. I didn't want to, I don't know, I wasn't happy. Before, I'd kind of, you know, been satisfied with the way things were going, and a month ago, I just couldn't be happy, and I couldn't figure out why. And then the week before Bible school, we had revival meetings at our church. And Tuesday night, the second revival meeting, God told me that He wanted me to be His, but I didn't want to give in to Him. I just kind of put it aside and said, well, I'm not doing that now. I want to keep going the way things are, you know. I don't want to serve you. And Thursday night, the message about be reconciled to God, I knew I wasn't reconciled to God, and I wanted to be. And I still wasn't yet willing to give up my life for Him. And then Friday morning, the first break, I went and talked to my prayer group leader and asked her if she'd pray with me, and we went back to the prayer room and prayed, and I felt a little bit better, but not all the way. And at prayer group, in prayer time, I asked the people in my prayer group to pray for me that I wasn't saved, and pray for me that I would be able to be right with God. And we dismissed, and I went outside and walked around the building, and as I was walking around, it was just me and God. And I said, God, don't let me leave here tonight without committing my life to You. And I was determined not to leave without doing that. And I just felt convicted, and I walked back to the prayer room, and my prayer group leader followed me back there, and we prayed, and she prayed for me, and then she asked me if she could go and get a counselor. And I did not want to talk to anybody else. I didn't want to talk to another lady. And I eventually gave in and said, yeah, you can go find somebody. She got up, and I was kind of wishing that, I don't know, that I didn't have to talk to a lady, but I kind of feel more comfortable with guys. So I was kind of wishing for that. And next thing you know, she comes back, she has her dad with her. And I just knew, right then it kind of hit me that, God, You are good. You are great. And he talked for a little while, and we got up and then came back out here and listened to the evening message. And when the altar call came, I couldn't stay sitting in my seat. I had to get up. I had to come up and get right with God. So I did, and went back to the council room and prayed with my prayer group leader, and
Well, I feel happy. I am so happy. I got right with God. And until you do get right with God, you have no idea the peace and the joy. I just want to praise Him. He is so good. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to this message. We trust that it has been a blessing to you. If you would like additional sermons or a catalog, please visit our website at effortofministries.org. Call us toll-free at 855-557-7902 or write to us at Effort of Ministries, 400 West Main Street, Suite 1, Effort of Pennsylvania, 17522. You are welcome to copy this message for free distribution. This ministry is supported by your donations. May the Lord Jesus bless you.